always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And you can believe both that the case shouldn't have been brought and that he's guilty, right? I mean, you can believe both things. You don't have to pick between the two. You can say, I don't think that based on this fact pattern, anyone else would have been charged here. And as a result, when you're talking about the former president, I don't think they should have moved forward with it. That was the position I took going into it. But then you look at the evidence. The technical question in this case for the jury was a separate one, which is, based on the law, do you think it was violated? And the answer to that can also be yes. You can have both things.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Maybe you're listening to us anywhere around the planet on our fantastic app, News Talk STL. The app makes your phone your radio, makes it your radio. You can also listen to us online on smart speakers. You know, even here at the radio station, we're all listening to ourselves throughout the day and all the other shows in multiple different ways. Of course, we have the live broadcast that we're running internally. We also have a couple smart speakers at different points in our overly ostentatious studio complex here. And some of us walk around with earbuds on listening to us on the app. So those are all great ways to, you never have to be far from News Talk STL. Six awesome local shows Monday through Friday, tons of local programming throughout the weekend. Also shows that have reached international fame. We are the exclusive providers of Dan Bongino Middays, a really, really great program that has captured the attention of the nation, and some other great programming throughout the weekend. In fact, one of our great programs on the weekend, The Right Mind Show with one Todd Showalter and some guy named Joey Vasevich or something or other.
I put a lot of work into that show, so it means a lot that you listen to it. I spent about 3 hours editing it on Saturday after we record for 2 hours on Thursdays.
And I received the email that Todd and you put out, which is always, Joey, it always brightens my weekend, no matter if I'm having a great weekend or maybe not so great, because you've got the comic strip in there. You've got Todd's interesting take on the world, and that's inspired my speaker stump speech for today that I'll get to in a minute. And you always have the great live memes. You always have the great live memes of you and Todd doing something or other with some cast of characters.
We always have a photo session on those Thursdays, and we'll grab people who are just milling around here in the studios, or we'll go out to some icon here in the Westport area and do something silly with it. And this past week, it was photo day. Jim Modlin, the voice of the station,
yes,
the voice from above, he made us take new headshots. So we were all dressed up, and I said, all right, let me take advantage of photo day. So we had a nice little picture with Jim's big head right in the front of the frame. I'm sure he hated that. We told him we were going to blur it out, but we left it in because it's so cute.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Thanks, Jim.
And I love the way you guys touch that up. It looks really cool. It's got that kind of comic book look to it. So it's really fantastic. So a couple other housekeeping announcements. By the way, if you're just tuning in this hour and you're wondering, are Joey and Tim letting Chris talk today? I'm sure Chris is speaking somewhere. He's not currently in the studio. He is on assignment, and he is doing very important work, I believe, in the electoral integrity world. Chris and I do a lot of political consulting and government affairs work in Missouri and beyond, and so that necessitates our absence sometimes. I'm actually going to be heading to Indianapolis later in the week. I'll be joining you all remotely on Wednesday. I'll have one day off. Chris will be back on Wednesday. Excuse me. And then I'll be back in studio on Friday. So I got to make a quick quick jaunt over to Indianapolis with our ALEC friends. I'll be hanging out with some of the ALEC crew, and we have a regional academy over there on commerce, education, industry. We're going to be talking regulatory capture of the government and how bad that is. Hey, on a good note, couple good things. I have two very special announcements for all y'all, and this is great because these are both live events with your favorite personalities. I'm sure that would be Joey, and then Chris and I, and many other of our talent pool here. We have two great events coming up, and it's going to be easy to remember these because they're both in the last week of June. So I want you to circle two big dates on your calendar. So I'll talk for a second. You guys get your calendars out, get your phones out, and I want you to reserve these two dates. The first one you need to get tickets for. The event is free, but Tuesday, June 25th at the brand new Funny Bone in St. Charles. Well, I don't know if it's brand new anymore, but it's newish. It is the satellite Funny Bone, but it's an awesome, awesome venue. It's really spectacular, especially for spoken word events, of course, because they do all the comedy routines there. So we're going to be at the Funny Bone St. Charles, which is at the streets of St. Charles, right over the Missouri River Bridge, just inside St. Charles there. And it's going to be called America 2024, the economy and the courts. We are bringing in two fantastic experts. You hear them often at News Talk STL. Our legal eagle, Zach Smith, that you hear every single Wednesday. And we just had him on last Friday, Joel Griffith, one of the famed economists at the Heritage Foundation. These fellows are brilliant, and they're also very funny. They're going to entertain, inform, and they may terrify you a little bit with some of the news that they know. They follow and watch a lot of the things that, you know, many of us don't even know that's going on. So that's why you should come and check out everything you need to know about the economy and the courts as we head towards election 2024. That'll be Tuesday evening. Now, details for both of these events, I'm going to get to the second one here in a second. Everything is at newstalkstl.com. So you go to newstalkstl.com. There's a huge, colorful red, white, and blue banner, Saving America 2024. You click on that. It'll then take you to, at the bottom, the link to get tickets. Even somebody like me can follow this because it says it. Link to get tickets. And all you got to do is reserve the tickets you want. And we'd love to have you. Free event, but we're limited on seating. And I think this thing is going to sell out, as our previous events have. St. Louis Young Republicans, West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, all great sponsors of this event. And we couldn't thank them more. They're going to be helping drive a lot of the traffic to that as well. So that's Tuesday, June 25th in St. Charles. And then at the other end of the St. Louis region, we're going to be heading to Johnny's Hideout on Thursday, June 27th. So just 2 days later, Chris and I will be broadcasting live from the Sunset Stage out there on the Sunset Patio. I think the weather's going to be great because it has been the last few weeks. The long-term forecast is looking just divine. So we'll be outside broadcasting from 4 to 6 p.m. And then we're going to take our dog and pony show inside, and we'll take to the main stage inside Johnny's Hideout around 7:30, give you a little pregame, and then we will all watch the debate together. Maybe we'll have a drinking game or something where if Biden says, come on, man, or talks about his famous Greek, Italian, Jewish, Palestinian family that he grew up in Delaware or Texas or Minnesota or wherever. So that's going to be on Thursday night. We'd love to have you. We want to pack Johnny's Hideout. We are going to have pretty much three quarters of the place. We're going to have the two, if you've been to Johnny's, those two huge rooms. They're not really separated, but there's kind of like a little half wall there that's been all opened up now. So it looks like one big giant room. There are a ton of TVs. There's probably, I don't know, two dozen TVs at least. I know the whole place has nearly 40 televisions in it. So, the rooms on the, I guess, the south side of the building where they have the speakers, VIP corner and all that, we're taking over that whole thing. And, we're going to have some food. And, of course, if you want to order drinks at the bar or whatever and all that, and we're all going to be there. So we'd love to have you there as well. We're expecting a pretty big crowd for that. So that's going to be the debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. Chris and I will be broadcasting 4 to 6 with Joey outside. The party starts at 7. We'll hit the stage around 7:30, give you a pregame with us and all of our other hosts and producers who show up that night. Debate starts at 8 p.m. That is sponsored by the Freedom Principle of Missouri and the St. Louis Young Republicans, along with us at Newstalk STL. So there you go. We've got the second half of your month all planned out for you. Tuesday, June 25th, Thursday, June 27th, two great events. If you have no idea what I just said because you just clicked on the radio, we've got awesome events coming up. Just go to newstalkstl.com and you will see all the details. We've got Susie Moore coming up at 5:25. We're going to cover all the red state headlines of the day. Look at this. You got to love Ron DeSantis. The big headline on Red State right now dovetailing off of Fauci the fraud's testimony, Florida grand jury releases interim report on COVID wrongdoing. You got to love that, you know, just to kind of buttress what Fauci did. Hey, before I get to my stump speech, I want to play a few clips for you to kind of set this all up, just to show you what a fraud this whole thing was and why this case was basically why this case was completely hijacked from the beginning. It was nothing more than political prosecution. If you didn't watch Will Scharf on ABC News Sunday with George Snuffleupagus, you've got to go back and check it out. I've got some sound here that Joey was kind enough to pull for me. Some of the biggest highlights from this. Here's Will, candidate for attorney general, on one of the many grounds of reversible error as to Judge Merchan.
I think when you look at the jury instructions here, Judge Merchan essentially, I wouldn't say rigged the deliberations, but certainly steered the jury towards the verdict that he clearly wanted. We're going to be challenging Judge Merchan's failure to recuse on appeal. I think it constitutes a clear due process violation. We're obviously going to be challenging aspects of the jury instructions themselves as well. I think there's a lot of appellate material there.
Yeah, as Jim Talent said in our first segment, if you missed that, it'll be podcasted today at newstalkstl.com and wherever you get podcasts. Jim Talent said, I don't think they proved anything as to anything, not even the misdemeanors, right? Much less the bootstrapping of a still unknown, vague, ambiguous federal elections law violation that both the DOJ, the FEC, and the Manhattan DA originally declined to prosecute on until Trump decided to announce for re-election. I mean, this whole thing was just set up faultily from the start. Will also says, how about this judge? He's never seen a judge before who is so blatant in his partisanship for one side.
Speaking as a former attorney, former law clerk, I've never heard of a judge contributing to political candidates before. I've certainly never heard of a judge sitting in judgment over the opponent of the political candidate he contributed to. I think the American people see through this sort of thing. I think that's why President Trump's poll numbers seem to be rising rather than falling. The Trump campaign obviously smashed political fundraising records, including raising money from tens of thousands of new donors in the 24 hours after this verdict.
And finally, Joey, let's skip to number five. We'll skip to number five. Will push back on Snuffleupagus, Stephanopoulos, the whole time, and really hammered the point home that I've been making about the prosecutor that came from the DOJ. But, you know, basically, you know, this whole hush money case, it had nothing to do with Joe Biden. It had to do with targeting a political opponent, and that was Donald Trump.
I vehemently disagree that President Biden and his political allies aren't up to their necks in this prosecution. I think the fact
there's that no Biden evidence of that, sir. There's no. I'm not going to let you continue to say that. There's just zero evidence of that.
Well, how about the fact that Matthew Colangelo was standing over Alvin Bragg's shoulder when he announced this verdict? I mean, Colangelo was the number three official in the Biden Department of Justice who suddenly disappears and shows up as an assistant district attorney right as Trump's case in New York starts to proceed.
After you want to talk about political made, there,
you want to talk about political coordination?
This has nothing
George,
to do.
Right
this has nothing to do. No, it's not. This has nothing to do with President Biden. Do you want to answer the question about the sentencing process or not?
Yeah, Will just you could see the resignation on George's face by the end of that interview. Will just stomped him, and there was absolute collusion. Used to be the favorite word of the Democrats between the Biden DOJ, the Biden White House, and what happened in Manhattan. How has this affected the common man and woman? What are people thinking about this now that it's done? I think it's been much ado about nothing and is not going to give the Democrats, the left and the media, the result they wanted. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of our good friend Joe Friday, Todd Showalter, the subject of today's speaker stump speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the speaker stump speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Do you notice how none of us have been rioting in the streets, looting, pillaging, burning, no murder and mayhem, no chaos or crises after the Trump verdict? It's because everyone's kind of looked at this. We were hoping against hope we might get one juror out of Lower Manhattan, which voted for Joe Biden, probably 95-5. But we knew it probably wasn't going to happen. We were being a little Pollyannish in our thinking. So once we heard the verdict, people went back to kind of their original suppositions. Yeah, that cake was baked before it even started. The fix was in. The persecution was meant to punish a political opponent. That's exactly what Todd Showalter encapsulated in his weekly email, which you should subscribe to. Joey, how can folks get on that? Do they need to email us at newstalkstl.com, or how do folks subscribe to that?
I'd go to his main website, studiotodd.com with two D's, studiotodd.com.
Perfect. Studiotodd with two D's.com. So Todd starts off his little soliloquy this week. As expected, he says, my phone started ringing the moment the verdict was read. Wow, I bet you're livid. Are you breaking things? Hope you're not having a meltdown. Strangely enough, there were none of the above, Todd says. In fact, he says, I felt extremely calm and peaceful. And you know what? As an aside here, Tim Jones here, I did too, right? Yeah. Have you heard me yelling and screaming much? I've been pushing back on this because as an attorney, as a former prosecutor, as someone who cares about our judicial system, I think they've absolutely broken it. But, you know, I've told you, I'm more sad and disappointed than angry. Todd says, this is what we needed to unify America. Interesting take out of that, but he makes sense. After 3 years of doing cartoons and radio shows mocking the borderline communist state that America has truly become, this verdict may have finally been the epiphany we needed. And look at what the Biden regime has already thrown at us. A compromised election, laughing at the Supreme Court over student loan bailouts. Yeah, so much for the law and order presidency of Joe Biden, right? Allowing illegal terrorists to walk across our borders. Again, the Democratic Party, not the party of law and order. Trying to force us to take questionable injections that we now know really they had no purpose or proof in order to make us do that in the first place. It goes on and on and on. Todd continues, their arrogance in weaponizing our justice system to silence a political opponent was an overdue revelation for many. After all, this wasn't just like a banana republic. It is a banana republic. And that, my friends, is exactly what we needed. Within hours, Trump campaign donations flooded in so quickly, the official website crashed repeatedly. As an aside here, on Monday morning, the total haul of the weekend, over $200 million. Todd continues, Trump's poll numbers have skyrocketed even higher. Longtime Democrats vowed to support Trump. The dam broke, and it made me feel pretty damn happy. Like they say, just because you lost the battle doesn't mean you'll lose the war. I think a lot of people finally realized yesterday, if Trump does indeed lose the war in November, we all may lose as well. Wise words from Todd Showalter, the inspiration for today's Speaker Stump Speech. Yeah, I think Todd hits the nail on the head. He encapsulated a lot of my feelings as well. You know, after that verdict was, I was like, you know, I'm not really angry. I'm not going to throw things. You don't have to lock me in a rubber room. I'm disappointed and sad that there wasn't one person on that jury that would have seen through all this malarkey, as Joe Biden might say, and throw this entire thing into the Hudson River where it belonged, you know, as far as this indictment. That's where the indictment belonged, and that's where the jury instructions belong, because the whole thing was a hoax. It really was rigged, folks. Those jury instructions, if you actually read them, it pretty much guides the jury to the result that Mershon and Colangelo wanted. And that's all it was. It was orchestrated. It was Soviet style. And look, let me tell you this as well. They don't give a rip. The left, the media, Mershon, the prosecutor, the Democrats, they don't care if this thing sticks. They don't care if it gets reversed on appeal. They do want Trump to go to jail. And you know what? He might have to serve some time. I hope not. And I hope that gets appealed and it gets stayed and never has to see the inside of a prison. So although, you know, that might get him elected in a landslide. But they don't really care. They just wanted the tag because they have no other tag. This has become their campaign motto because they have nothing else to campaign on. What are they going to say? Vote for us and we'll give you more inflation. Vote for us and we'll ruin the economy more. Vote for us and we'll have 12 million more people invade our southern border. Vote for us for more fentanyl crises, sex trafficking, human trafficking, and a disastrous presence on the world stage. Vote for us and we'll have more Afghanistans. We won't know how to do anything regarding wars in Russia, Israel, the Middle East, or between China and Taiwan. I mean, that would be their campaign mottos if it wasn't, yeah, but he's the convicted felon. That's all this was, folks, a political stunt. Thank you, Todd Showalter and The Right Mind Show for helping inspire this week's Speaker Stump Speech. All right, we're going to get to a break here. Susie Moore is, of course, standing by. She's going to deliver to us all the important red state headlines of the day and the subject of the first part of this week's More to the Point commentary. We got lots more straight ahead here on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show, 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
President Biden's son, Hunter, is the first child of a sitting U.S. president to face federal criminal charges. In fact, doing it within walking distance of his father's campaign headquarters there in Wilmington.
Yeah, Biden accused of lying about his drug addiction when he bought a handgun in 2018. He arrived at the courthouse here this morning.
And his stepmother, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, entered the courthouse moments later. President Biden is not expected to attend the trial.
Oh, they're so proud of Crackhead Bob. That's what they said as they walked into the courthouse today with one Hunter. The first person in the long trail of Biden criminal crime family members to be brought before the court. We'll see if this is going to have breathless coverage wall to wall like the Trump trial has over the last few weeks. Let's bring in our next guest to talk about that and more.
Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q.
I'm the boss.
That's right.
How about that?
As she does every Monday afternoon, Susie Moore at Smoozie Q on Twitter X. You hear her frequently on her More to the Point commentaries and as a frequent contributor and commentator on this one, on this here radio station. Susie, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Hey, Tim. Glad to be back.
So, Susie, I know you all are covering the Hunter Biden trial. You're covering it at Red State. You're covering it. Many of your colleagues are covering it. Susie, should we expect wall-to-wall coverage of the Hunter Biden trial? It's historic. It's just as historic as the Trump trial. It's a first ever. Should we expect that on CNN and MSNBC and all the other alphabet soup legacy networks?
You know, that is a good question, Tim. I have to confess that I didn't until just now go to check out whether CNN was in fact giving live updates. It does look like they were.
Okay.
And the reason I didn't go check was because Town Hall has one of our colleagues is there in the courtroom. So I've been relying on her reporting because it's one of our colleagues. But at least CNN can say that they are providing live updates.
Susie,
I don't know if they're breathless.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they're clutching at pearls or not. Susie, for everyone who's forgotten about this, because it seems like we had to put everything on the planet aside for the persecution of Donald Trump over the last few weeks, if not months, would you remind our audience, what is this Hunter Biden trial all about? And do you think he faces any sort of actual criminal justice jeopardy here?
Yeah, the case is about his purchase of a handgun in October of 2018. In order to make that purchase, he had to fill out a form, one of the federally mandated forms, and assert that he was not a drug user or a drug addict at the time, neither of which are true, based on his own very open accounts of how he was basically, you know, taking a hit off the crack pipe every 20 minutes during that time frame. So he lied on the form, lied to the firearms dealer, and then he was a prohibited possessor of that firearm for approximately 11 days until his then girlfriend / former sister-in-law, Hallie Biden, disposed of the gun in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the underlying fact of what has happened, what he's charged with. Now, initially, he and his legal team had entered into a plea deal with the government, with the Department of Justice, that was what was fairly called a sweetheart plea deal. And when it was presented to the judge in Delaware, she took a look at it and was like, this looks really weird. Something's not right. And pushed them back to the drawing board. So now we are at the actual trial portion of that that case. So real quick to get to the second part of your question.
Yes.
The case is being heard in Wilmington, Delaware, in front of a jury in federal court. Delaware being the home state of the president of the United States. The chance of there not being one juror who will stand up on behalf of Hunter Biden, although the evidence is overwhelming, is pretty slim. So mm-hmm. I won't be at all surprised. It may not be an acquittal, but I won't be at all surprised if when all is said and done with this, which in this case probably will only last about 2 weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
That it's a hung jury.
Yes. Yeah. And Susie, yeah, if there's one thing I hope that you and I have taught the audience of Newstalk STL Nation over the last few weeks, if not months, is that venue and jurisdiction, unfortunately, sometimes matters more than the facts and the law of the case, right?
That is very true. And as an example of that, as a young lawyer, for about the first 15 or so years of my practice, I was an insurance defense lawyer. So mm-hmm. we were defending lawsuits when people sued somebody because they'd been hurt, whether it was a car accident or a slip and fall, that sort of thing. And one of the primary things I did that entire first half of my legal career was fight venue in the city of St. Louis. The city of St. Louis juries were notorious for being very generous with their plaintiff's verdicts. So as a defendant, if there was any way you could wiggle your way away from the city of St. Louis, you did. Now, the law changed. I think that might have been while you were in the legislature, Tim. Mm-hmm. And made venue less manipulable, so that you basically had to bring the lawsuit where the injury occurred. That changed a lot for we defense lawyers, and we didn't have to fight venue all the time. But all of that is to say, yes, venue is very important. So you can have the facts and the law in your case, but if you have a juror or jurors who are just bound and determined to make a determination based on their own emotions, sometimes you can't get around that.
Yep. Susie, if we were writing a legal brief right now, we would cite to the famous court case of State of California versus O.J. Simpson. So there you go. We would mm-hmm. say see O.J. Yeah. Simpson. Susie, in addressing the Trump trial, you have a more to the point that was just released this morning titled mm-hmm. Justice Impacted Individual Number 47. What are we talking about here, Susie?
So I'm having a little fun with some terminology. You may recall that recently the state of Illinois passed a law, I don't know if Pritzker has signed it yet, that would relabel certain criminal offenders justice-impacted individuals.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, in fairness to them, that's not all offenders. That's only the ones that are convicted of lesser crimes or plead guilty of lesser crimes that you know, you could get probation for. But Donald Trump would fit the bill here, because the crimes of which he was convicted by this jury are lesser crimes, and he's technically eligible for probation. So he could qualify, at least under Illinois law, as being called a justice-impacted individual rather than a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I had a little fun with that. And since when the government is talking about different witnesses and players in their reports, they'll say, you know, individual number one or witness number 20 or whatever, to make their identification without naming them, I figured I'd use 47 since he is vying to be the 47th president of the United States.
That is really fantastic. Susie, how about the fact that, you know, I was talking earlier about the fact that, you know, a lot of us woke up today and, you know, despite our disappointment with the Trump trial, I kind of think it was one giant, as my daughters might say, one big giant meh, right? I mean, we all kind of, mm-hmm. when the trial started a year ago with that indictment, that fake, phony, ridiculous indictment that never really did fill in the blanks for me, probably not mm-hmm. for you either. I think we all thought, all right, well, New York City jury, Lower Manhattan, Trump's probably, you know, his goose is going to get cooked on this one, but, you know, he's just going to have to deal with the consequences. And then, you know, as the trial developed and we saw how ridiculous it truly was, the jury instructions, you know, were so manufactured to basically reach only one result. It kind of reminded us that's where the case was heading. But Susie, you know, here we are now on Monday. The Democrats don't have a Trump trial drum to beat, and so we're kind of back where we started, right? Trump's still leading in most of the swing state polls. We'll see what happens as the week goes on and more polling comes out. But if this was their Hail Mary, I don't know that they reached the end zone or even caught the pass. What say you?
Well, I think it's fair to say that this was one of their Hail Marys. It is June 3rd, so we've got, five more months till the election. Mm-hmm. And if you think this was the only play they were going to mount, I think that's naive. There's going to be more. They will throw more. They will do whatever they can. Where they're running into a problem is their attempt to use lawfare. So they got the one case to trial. Whoop-de-doo. Okay, great. And pretty much even people that don't like Trump are like, yeah, that was really kind of sketchy. They've got maybe stronger arguments in at least one, if not two, of the other cases. But at this point, it doesn't look like any of those cases are going to get to trial before the election. So, for instance, the Georgia case, also a state case, The Court of Appeals just said that they just said oral argument on the Fannie Willis disqualification issue for October 4th.
Oh, well, there you go.
That case doesn't go anywhere. The Florida case regarding the classified documents issue, well, Judge Cannon has basically said postpone the trial setting there indefinitely because there's been issues with the discovery and the production and some of the evidence and how it was handled. And so knowing the way federal courts operate, I don't see that one going to trial before November. And then the one in D.C. is waiting on the Supreme Court to rule in on the immunity issue. Well, that was the very last case heard by the Supreme Court. The opinion is definitely going to be one of the heftier ones and the more complicated ones, which means it will probably be the very last opinion that they issue, which will be the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
So the realistic possibility of that case then flipping around and being ready to go and the immunity not playing a role and yada, 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 being able to get that one to trial before November is also very, very slim. I think we're going to see all kinds of things thrown at him and at the Republican Party between now and November, but it's kind of gratifying to see the lawfare fizzling.
And Susie, do you think that, you know, with as evidence of this, I would point to the $200 million plus cash haul that the Trump campaign were the direct beneficiaries of over the weekend following the conviction. You look at that, and we'll see what all the polling reflects. But Susie, do you think that the, you know, in general, people don't necessarily focus on November elections until much closer too, but this lawfare has been such a national story affecting so many states all across the union during a presidential year. You think people are figuring out that maybe the independents and the more moderate voters, that maybe just maybe this is a not a good way to conduct an election, that maybe we should just vote and not have former presidents constantly under indictment?
Yeah, I mean, I think you highlighted this, Tim. I mean, it's the independents, it's the swing voters, it's the people who are persuadable and aren't necessarily wedded to a Republican or a Democrat candidate and aren't so baked in terms of their personal feelings about either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, that they could still kind of change their mind. And believe it or not, both people exist. It's hard for me to believe, and I always try to put on my former liberal hat and, you know, think back to when I was in that mindset. It's hard for me to believe that people who are, you know, relatively open-minded and objective don't see this for what it is, because you're seeing a lot of people who were formerly very strong in their detractor status as far as Trump is concerned, saying, yeah, this isn't right. So if people that really were anti-Trump can acknowledge that, not everybody, obviously, but some, then the people that are kind of Trump agnostic have got to be going, yeah, this isn't right. And if they compare the Trump presidency to the Biden presidency and how they were doing under each of them respectively, you got to feel like that's probably going to be in favor of Trump more so than not, that it won't be.
I think that's a fair analysis and wise words indeed. That is Susie Moore there. She's deputy managing editor over at redstate.com, which you should check out 24/7, redstate.com, covering the Hunter Biden trial. Even if the other networks don't quite provide as comprehensive a look, Red State will from top to bottom. You can also follow Susie at Smoozy Q on Twitter X. Thanks so much, Susie, for getting us kicked off right ways here on a Monday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You bet, Tim. Have a great evening.
Thank you as well. Wow, just like that, it's 5:45 in the p.m. We're going to take one final break this afternoon, and then we'll come back. So you're wondering, what are the polls showing? Well, I've got one for you. It's a swing state, and you might be surprised. You're going to want to stand by for that. Prepare you for Larry Connors USA and more when producer Joey V and I return here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
St. Louis has not hosted a professional football playoff game since January 10th, 2004. The Rams lost in double overtime to the Panthers. Well, next week, the wait is over. The Battlehawks have brought playoff football back to the Dome. Battlehawks win 13-12 to secure a home playoff game against this same San Antonio team next weekend. And the message for next week is crystal clear.
It is vital, vital that St. Louis comes in droves. We need them. Bring one friend and this place is full. That's kind of how easy it is. So excited to come back next week. I can't wait to walk out of the tunnel and see what it looks like.
Yeah, welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, proving once again that St. Louis is very much a sports town, very much a football town, and it was only because of the evil Stan Kroenke that we were not a football town for a few years. Yep, twice snake bit, but it's great to have the Battle Hawks back. And Joey, you said the game was very exciting this past weekend.
Yeah, they won 13-12, but it all came down to a field goal at the very end of the game, and they tipped it. The Battle Hawks tipped the field goal out of the way, and they won 13-12. So it's crazy that this is going to be the no matter what. But next week we're going to be at home in the dome playing the Brahmas. But even if the Battle Hawks are out, the final game, the championship game, is going to be here in St. Louis as well.
Oh,
so the XFL, which is now called the UFL, just completely believes in St. Louis, and we're going to fill that dome, I'm sure, no matter what, for the next two foreseeable Saturdays.
Well, you've all come out in record numbers. It really is amazing. I think St. Louis alone is providing like half or more of the attendance every week for the league, and so I think that's great that we put our money and our time and our true look, money, treasure, and time, very valuable commodities these days, and all of them are a little harder to come by, given Bidenomics and Bidenflation. So thank you all for supporting this. It makes you know, for all the horror and the terror and the crises and the chaos we talk about with St. Louis every week, you know, I still live here intentionally. I could go somewhere else. I could do radio remotely from anywhere on the planet, right? But I choose to still live, work, and play and raise a family here because it's a great place to be. And we want it to succeed. We want to get it back to some of its former glory. So that's really great news indeed. Oh, I had a special poll for you to kind of show where things are. So Monday morning, I click open Real Clear Politics. I often check them and to see what kind of polling they've got. And hot off the presses, we have one swing state that was polled over the last couple days. So the verdict would have been baked in the cake in this one. Check this out. North Carolina, which has been a very purple swing state. It's been very swingy over the last few cycles. Donald Trump, 49. Joe Biden, 41. Trump up 8 points over Biden in North Carolina. This poll was released this morning. It was an American Greatness NSOR poll. And, you know, it's a snapshot in time. The only thing that means anything is the big poll in November called the election. But I think it's interesting that we see there's definitely trends here. Hey, before we wrap up, another update on the sports report here. Joey and I were talking about in the break. The meteoric rise of the former basement-dwelling St. Louis Cardinals, they have pulled all from... They were fifth place in the Central not that long ago, and we just checked just now, and as many of you sports fans know, they are one game below 500. They're 28-29, but in a division that is just struggling in and of itself. They have climbed all the way back to second place. Joey, I think it's because I went to the game a couple weeks ago and they won.
Of course. And those Philadelphia Phillies, they're like the best team in baseball. They're 41-19. So it's nice that we got one of the wins in.
Yes. We won the last game. 7-3 in their last 10. I mean, if they maintain that, very hard to maintain that, but if they maintain that kind of 7-3-ish type of streak over the next several months, we got a long way to go, right? We just started June, not even to the halfway point yet of the baseball season. I know this team has problems. I don't follow baseball as closely as like the guys in the morning, as I'm a big baseball fan. I just haven't followed it that much over the last few years, been busy with other stuff. But, you know, Mike and Gabe and Stell, they follow it much more closely than I do. And so I know the problems with the team. I know the pitching is very suspect. But, you know, it seems like they're turning some things around. And how about that, Joey? We could. It's nice to see the Battle Hawks making a run for the money and the Cardinals being just as exciting as we head into the summertime.
In St. Louis City SC, the soccer game, they were playing Miami and ended up in a tie. So 3-3, but that's respectable.
How are they doing this year?
Oh, they're doing pretty good. You know, Messi, he's like the biggest name in all of that MLS, and they tied. So that's not too bad. Got points.
That is not too shabby at all. Joey, just like that, we're about out of time for today. Let me see if, I don't know if I have a note here from, I do have a note here from Larry Connors. So let me tell you what's coming up on Larry Connors USA this evening, right after we wrap up at 6:05, the GOP ready to investigate weaponization of government against Americans. That's long overdue. Dr. Fake Fauci, as Larry calls him, telling Congress He doesn't recall. I know nothing. He's like Sergeant Schultz from the old Hogan's Heroes days. He doesn't recall getting any big dollars from Big Pharma. And Hunter Biden's felony gun trial already being ignored by the leftist lamestream media. All that is up at 6:05 Larry Connors USA. Thanks for listening this afternoon. Joey V and I will be back tomorrow. The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Be safe, all y'all.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.